were you any guys in the cafe there? Just now?
Not in the cafe.
So we just did like an open coffee at,
Glacier Express.
Yeah, that, yeah, so it was a good turnout. I don't know, we'd probably have, what, 40 people there at least? And, good questions, went a little long, but, so that's, so it's been, for me, for the recess, I started in, Munich, Germany. There's a big annual security conference there called the Munich Security Conference, which they've been holding for 55 years. It's a big deal with the new administration. Vice President came, Secretary of Defense came, Secretary of Homeland Security came, and then I went with a CODEL of, I think, 11 U.S. senators, bipartisan CODEL. Started there, great meetings. I talked about meeting with the Prime Minister of Norway and her team last night at my remarks, which was kind of appropriate given the event you were in, and then came home and 2 days in Fairbanks, 2 days in Anchorage, 2 days in Juneau, and 2 days here in Petersburg, and get on a plane in a couple hours, go back to D.C., and we'll vote tomorrow. Tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow on the confirmation of Wilbur Ross, which is important for Alaska, important in particular for our fisheries. He will be the new Secretary of Commerce. I'm anticipating he will get a strong bipartisan support, and then we got to start putting people in place at that agency. It's really important for our fisheries. So that's kind of my
opener. Town hall you mentioned, was that impromptu or advertised, or I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, it was.
You didn't hear about it?
Yeah.
No.
A lot of people heard about it. That's
kind
for sure.
Kind of impromptu with.
We set it up. Four or 5 days ago, when we were putting together our schedule here. We kind of crashed some things, as you probably know. We crashed the dinner last night, but, I hadn't been here since I was campaigning, so I thought it was important to get out here what the issues were, and it's been a great trip. I want to thank Senator Stedman and the mayor and everybody else who showed us great hospitality, as usual. It's good.
Did you want to go first?
Sure. An important issue for Petersburg is where the next Coast Guard cutter will be stationed. We have had the Coast Guard cutter here, since the 50s, I think. And now they're upgrading the cutters.
Yeah.
Is that cutter going to be able to stay here? And what control do you have over that decision?
Well, look, I'm going to I can back up by saying, to me, one of the real important elements of getting out on the floor, on the ground, in my, hearing directly from my constituents in their communities, not coming to D.C., is because you get things that are reinforced. And that's probably the, fourth time I've heard that question. I've been already looking at this. We have this issue where the Coast Guard talks about the new class of cutter that's going to have a broader reach, which it will. It's a bigger ship. But they're using the argument that they can, because of that broader reach, we're going to have, as a state, one less ship. And I'm not convinced that makes strategic sense or sense for the Coast Guard, because the missions and challenges that we have in Alaska are only increasing with increased traffic here and a whole host of other reasons. So. Can I influence that? I'm going to try. I'm the chairman of the committee that oversees the Coast Guard. And the first thing we're doing in terms of my committee's priority is to mark up and pass a Coast Guard reauthorization bill. So we're going to look into this in a big way. I have no promises. I try not to promise. I try to under-promise, over-deliver, not the other way around, but we're certainly going to look hard at it.
The first thing I wanted to ask you about is the new marijuana industry in Alaska.
Yeah.
How could you help this new growing industry in the state? There is already a local cultivation business here in Petersburg, and there are several businesses started up in Southeast. But this growing business has some federal hurdles like banking and then transporting product to get tested.
Yeah.
So the question is, you know, how can you help? Yeah. Congressman Young is starting up a cannabis caucus to address like the banking, those kinds of federal regulation hurdles.
So, you know, one of the first things that, you know, again, I'll back up on, you know, when that was a referendum, I was up for election during that time. And whenever I was asked about it, I said, look, it's a state issue. It's not a federal issue. So my own view was I was not going to vote for it. But once it passed, I'm also a big believer in the 10th Amendment. And, you know, so our citizens strongly supported it, if you look at the numbers. So what I've done in the last year and a half is meeting with the Walker administration's state officials who are in charge of that to try and figure out what the big hurdles are federally. And as you mentioned, it's banking, and it's also just prosecutorial discretion. What was the name of the memo? There's a memo that the Obama administration Justice Department put out on this that I think people had some concerns about, because it said, while we are, and I'm paraphrasing now, we can get you the memo, while we are not looking to prosecute people from states that have approved this, we essentially retain the right to do so under the federal laws, which wasn't a, you know, that's a tough memo to look at and kind of bank a business on. So we've been looking at federal legislation, but, you know, the challenge there is right now there's only, I think, again, I can give you the correct number. I think 5 or 6 states that have done what we've done. So I don't know if there's a big amount of support from the legislative perspective to change the laws. Where the action is, and I'm going to continue to work on it with the Walker administration, is in the banking sector and in the prosecutorial discretion sector of the Justice Department. So we're going to continue to work with them because, as I mentioned, state voted for it. I represent the people who did, and but there are federal regulatory hurdles on the financial side and Department of Justice side. They existed in the Obama administration, and I don't know where the Trump administration is going to be on these, but we'll find out.
Another thing you touched on last night was Department of Transportation money for our ferries.
Yeah.
What's going to evolve there, and what's your goal?
Well, we can get you the numbers, but you know, I think a big success that Congressman Young and Lisa Murkowski and I had in the last Congress was getting a long-term highway bill through the Congress. There's a formula, federal formula, that kind of determines what states pay in and what they get out. The formula for Alaska is very favorable. One of the big things we had to do and successfully did was we defended that formula. So the amount of federal highway dollars coming to the state is in this 5-year long-term highway bill, it's already passed, President Obama signed it, is very significant. It's close to $3 billion for the state over 5 years. So when the state side is having challenges on a capital budget, we saw that as a big win for Alaska because, you know, we're a resource-rich but infrastructure-poor state, so our priority has been on increasing infrastructure, which we were able to do in the last Congress. We can get you the numbers, but it includes you know, yearly increases in the amount of money going to the marine ferry system in Southeast, as well as broader infrastructure. Now, a lot of that money goes to state DOT. But in the bill itself, there was money set aside and focused on the marine ferry system. So when state DOT says they have no money, that's actually not true. They got a lot of money. I mean, look, I love Commissioner Luke, and I think he's a great guy. But you know, I think that this year's amount was like either 500 or 550. It's going to be bumped up by almost 50 million a year for the next 4 years. And that's done. We got that done already.
I wanted to ask you about the immigration policy. Petersburg relies on immigrants in the processing plants. Mm-hmm. And do you support the administration's immigration order as it is? And how should a small town like Petersburg deal with it?
Well, you know, with regard to Petersburg, what we've been trying to do as a delegation is get the State Department to focus on the H-1B visas, right? That's the big issue for the processing plants here. And we're going to continue to focus on that. I'll get back to you on the status of where that is right now. But that's the big challenge. I went down and toured the Icicle processing plant yesterday. And as you can imagine, I'm very engaged on these issues for our industry, which I pointed out in my speech to the legislature, is a bigger industry than the oil and gas industry in Alaska, so a very important industry. You know, on the Trump executive order, I put a statement out. We can make sure you see it. When that came out a couple weeks ago, where I said, you know, it was rolled out in a way that was kind of confusing and haphazard and looked like it didn't have the vetting that normally would need. And one of my concerns was if that's focused on protecting Americans, we need to remember that the most of our key allies in the war on terror are actually majority Muslim countries. So, but I did say that the overall goal of that, taking a look at our vetting system in terms of immigration, in terms of things like the visa waiver program, I thought was something that was needed, simply because even last year there was a number of people testifying in front of the Homeland Security Committee saying, hey, we need to relook at this. And as someone who recently attended a top secret national security briefing on this issue in terms of threats from people who want to do us harm utilizing our immigration system, I can tell you without revealing what I learned in that briefing, but there's certainly risks right now. But I think they could have done a better job, and I was encouraged and even publicly stated they might want to look hard at just redoing the order. There's a court case out there, a couple of them. Some have said it was constitutional, others have said it wasn't. But to look at those and reissue an order that is much tighter legally and much better vetted. And my understanding is they're looking at doing that, but I don't think they've issued anything.
But you don't think?
Did they issue something? I'm not up on all the news right now.
But just so you don't think that small towns in Alaska, of which there are many, should go after or put enforcement efforts into with the tight budgets that exist.
The issue of kind of deputizing the. No, I think though and again, I haven't read that. I've been traveling a lot. But my initial reaction when I heard that, I've not read the order, was that if that's what they want us to do, then, and look, some of the local law enforcement might have a much better sense of who's here, who's not. But I think that should be augmented with funding to the communities that are asked to be doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Especially us, given our budget challenges. Okay. That would be my view, but I haven't read the order yet.
AP did a big story on Anwar development. Mm. Are you as optimistic that Anwar could be opened by this by congressional action?
Well, look, I'm working on that issue almost every day, but I'm not talking about it a lot. I think it's something where we're going to have an opportunity. But as you guys know, the opposition to this is almost, in my view, works people up into a frenzy that is beyond rationality. Let me give you one example. Here's a map of the North Slope. That's the ocean. That's Anwar. This is state land. That's Point Thompson. Right? We literally, and I was very involved in this for years, we literally, ExxonMobil and the other companies just spent almost $5 billion developing Point Thompson. You can almost see Anwar. They did a great job, 14 million man hours without one lost hour of work. It's incredible, really, in the most extreme Arctic conditions in the world. And of course, no spills, no impacts on wildlife. That's essentially, if you move the border 5 miles that way, that you're developing Anwar right now. So the technology to do this responsibly has increased so dramatically since the last debate that what we're going to try and do is just rationally speak to people about, hey, we're already doing this, and nobody opposed that. Mm-hmm. And if you just moved it over a little bit, you'd be doing it. But I'm not sure the other side wants to have a rational debate on this. In my view, a lot of this is just used to drive fundraising for, you know, extreme environmental groups that don't have Alaska's interest in mind at all when they work to rile people up about it. So, yes, we're going to work hard on it.
And just for the 1002?
Just for the 1002, right. Yeah.
Which is a small portion of the coastal plain. So it's not the whole open up. We're not.
No, no.
You're not saying Anwar.
No. The debate on the 1002 is just a tiny. Well, again, we can give you the numbers. It's a fraction. And here's the other thing about the technology. Mm-hmm. So the Anwar is like this, right? But in where, the 1002.
Where's the 1002?
It's right here.
Okay.
I mean, that's it. Coastal, tiny. The numbers are tiny, tiny. It's like 0.01% or something of Anwar. It's tiny. It's like the number Ted Stevens used to throw around was, and we can get you there, is the size of Dulles Airport. That's it. In a state as big as ours. But here's the thing. The technology has so dramatically moved forward beyond the debate. What do I mean by that? If you look at the North Slope, so if you look at Prudhoe Bay development, okay? It's a pretty big surface footprint. And then you look at Kuparik, smaller footprint. Then you look at Alpine, smaller footprint. Then you look at CD5, even smaller footprint. So the surface footprint, year after year, has dramatically shrunk, meaning the environmental impact. And yet, because of horizontal drilling, you can do a tiny surface footprint in the coastal area of Anwar and still range dozens and dozens of miles under the ground. So again, the debate that the opponents want to engage with us is lost in the 1970s. The 2017 debate is, we can do this in a way that is environmentally responsible, both in terms of exploration and development. And by the way, we just did it at Point Thompson. I mean, we have Exhibit A right now. So we're going to be really charged with being able to bring the new facts and figures to bear. And you may have seen, which I think was important, right after my speech to the legislature, I was presented with the resolution that passed the Alaska State Legislature. I was presented it in front of all the cameras. I'm not sure anyone reported on it, but they should have. The lieutenant governor, because the governor was out of town, the Speaker of the House, and the lead sponsor in the House on that resolution. Why is that important? Because that shows not only Alaskans but the world that the support for Anwar development is Republicans like us, Democrats like Bryce Edgman and Byron Mallott, and natives and non-natives. And that's an important message. And they wanted to present that to me at the press conference that I had after my speech to show that. And I think that's another thing we'll be talking about as we try to move forward on this.
Okay, I wanted to ask about the border wall. Nobody knows exactly how much it would cost, but this is a U.S.-Mexican border wall.
Yeah.
Nobody knows exactly how much it would cost, but figures range 15 to 21 billion, what I've seen. Yeah. The administration says Congress should pay up front and Mexico will pay it back. Mexico says they won't. Yeah. So my question is, would you vote to use tax dollars to pay for a border wall, knowing that Mexico says they won't pay it?
Yeah, I've never been someone who believes at the end of the day that Mexico was going to end up paying for this. We'll see what happens. Normally, I don't normally comment on kind of a question like that unless I saw the specifics. Clearly, we're going to have to pay for it some way. But I would say more broadly, so I'll look at that, and you know, when there's specifics, you know, can get back to you guys on the financing. I would say more broadly, though, I've never fully understood why the issue, and it's, you know, before Donald Trump ran for office, seems to be so controversial. Most countries across the world secure their borders. And my view is, if the United States and the Congress and the people want to secure their southern border and they believe we need to, then we should be able to. That's not, to me, that's not a really controversial topic. It's not, shouldn't be viewed as some kind of racially tinged issue. It's a nation wanting to secure its borders and its sovereignty. Every country in the world, if you look around the world, does that or tries to do it. Your point about how to pay for it is really, to me, the important one. And I'll end up commenting on that and supporting it one way or the other once I see it.
If you could touch a little bit on your harbor upgrades, it was a part of your roads, bridges, and ports discussion. Can you expand?
I sit on the Environment and Public Works Committee. That's different from the Commerce Committee, but they're kind of a nice 1-2 punch in terms of Alaska interests because it's fisheries, it's ports, it's harbors, it's roads, it's infrastructure. Those are the two committees that cover all of those areas. And right before right when we recessed in December, we passed this, what used to be called the WRDA bill, Water Resources and Development Act. They changed the name to the WIN, W-I-I-N, Act. We were able to get a lot of provisions, and they're authorizing construction for additional ports and dredging and upgrades to a number of Alaska communities, and we can get you the list. I don't have it in front of me. The one element that I'm not sure it'll impact Petersburg, but that I was also encouraged that we were able to get in, was a new program that my team and I wrote with the help of a number of Alaska stakeholders, which was focusing on communities that have no water and sewer. So as you know, there's over 30 Alaska communities that literally have no clean running water or no flush toilets. American citizens, which I just think is appalling. So there was a big debate, and I highlighted this in my remarks to the legislature. You know, last year there was a big debate in the Senate on aging infrastructure for communities spurred by what happened in Flint, Michigan. And I looked at that and said, okay, I understand state, local officials and federal officials need to work on the issue of aging infrastructure for water and sewer, but we need to prioritize before that communities that have no infrastructure. How about my constituents who have no infrastructure, who, you know, and some of them live in third world conditions with diseases that are way higher than what most Americans would find acceptable. So we pressed that really hard and ended up getting a new program. Initially in the Senate, it was a very big program, a $1.4 billion program over 5 years. It would have mostly, in the way we wrote it, focused on Alaska communities. The House didn't have anything on their side. So when it came to conference in December, we worked hard. I worked hard. Don Young worked hard, calling a number of House members to make sure we kept the new program. But the numbers got reduced. So it's a new program signed into law, $300 million over 5 years. A lot of it will come to our state, which is good, because I think even members of Congress who live in states that don't have this problem, you know, American citizens having to use honey buckets for their basic sanitation needs, I think is not acceptable in this country. So I think we made a good progress on that, and that was part of that bill as well.
Can I have one more question?
We've got it yet. It's quick.
It's usually me
being the quick one.
It's the just your vote on Medicaid, just to make sure that you would vote to repeal it.
Well, you know, I commented on this. My goal is, so you're talking about Medicaid expansion,
yes. Expansion,
right? Not
yes.
Medicaid.
Right,
so.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. My goal, what I said was, there's going to be a lot of moving parts, a lot of action on the initial, what we call budget reconciliation bill with regard to the Affordable Care Act, regulatory approaches to stabilizing the market, and then additional legislation. So I don't see this all being done at once. And what I've said, and there's a number of senators who are, I think, in the same boat that I am, is that I want to make sure that people who were covered by Medicaid expansion have, comparable coverage and opportunities on whatever the next program is. How that looks exactly, I don't know yet, and I'm not making promises on it. I think the broader goal here, which a lot of people miss, is to make sure if we are growing our economy, and having people who are having strong jobs and the ability to raise their incomes is to get people off Medicaid, right? A lot of people forget that. Increasing the rolls is not some kind of great goal that we want over the long term. We want people who are actually moving up the economic ladder of opportunity so they don't have to rely on that. But we did expand. I know in the legislature with the governor, I followed it closely. There were concerns, which I shared, which was, one risk of expansion is that the federal government's never been great about keeping its word, and the state of Alaska might at some point end up with a big, big tab to pay if the feds start to kind of walk back their commitment. That was a concern that I had, continues to be a concern that I have, but we're going to try and make sure that people who, through no fault of their own, got covered by the expansion are not going to, be thrown under the bus in terms of what they currently have.
Well, we better go check in.
Yeah.
So you don't know. You're not sure yet.
I haven't seen the language, right? I mean, to me, broad-based kind of statements of, yes, I'm absolutely positively convinced I'll do X, Y, and Z. Let me see the language first, and then I'll tell you the exact answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right.